Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slobber Knocker Talk with Austin. I'm going to go over the Week 5 scores real quick, even though Week 6 just happened. Just want to run by the scores. Week 5, Giants versus Packs. Giants won 27-22. Lions versus Patriots. Pats won 29-0. Chargers versus Browns. Chargers 38-28. Texans versus Jags. Texans 13-6. Falcons versus Bucks. Bucks 21-15. Steelers versus Bills 38-3. Dolphins versus Jets. Jets 40-17. Bears versus Vikings. Vikings 29-22. Titans versus Washington. Titans 21-17. Seahawks versus Saints. Saints 39-32. 49ers versus Panthers. 49ers 37-15. Eagles versus Cardinals. Eagles 20-17. Cowboys versus Rams 22-10. Cowboys. Bengals versus Ravens 19-17. Ravens. Raiders versus Chiefs. Chiefs 30-29. Browns versus Colts. Colts 12-9. That was Week 5. Now let's go into Week 6. The Week 6 scores go as Washington versus Bears. Washington was the winner with 12-7. Ravens versus Giants. Giants took it at 24-20. The Giants, everyone was saying, oh, beat good teams. They did. 2 weeks in a row, they beat the Packers and the NFC, which is one of the best teams led by future Hall of Famer and Aaron Rodgers, and then beat AFC's top team, one of the top teams, in the Ravens. Jags versus Colts. Colts took it 34-27. Kind of an up-in-the-air game. No one really knew what was going to happen there. Those two teams are adequate at best. Patriots versus Browns. Patriots were all second-string players, not even the original starters, and they beat the Browns 38-15. Bengals versus Saints. Bengals took it 30-26, one of the closest games there was all week. Buccaneers versus Steelers. This was a very, very awkward win. No one was expecting the Steelers to do it with Kenny Pickett, but he did it. Steelers 20-18. Mind you, who left in the game with only 67 yards due to a concussion, and Mitch Trubisky had to take back over. 49ers versus Falcons. Falcons won 28-14. Kind of surprising. 49ers are one of the top NFC teams there is. Jets versus Packers. Jets win it at 27-10. We're going to touch base on that later. Vikings versus Dolphins. Vikings 24-16. Panthers versus Rams. Rams aren't looking so good. Panthers, they're okay. And what about Robbie Anderson leaving in the middle of the game due to him being a little prima donna? Rams take it at 24-10. Cardinals versus Seahawks. Seahawks take it 19-9. Chiefs versus Bills. Very, very good game. We'll touch base on that as well later. 24-20. Cowboys versus Eagles. No surprise, the Eagles are staying undefeated. 26-17, the Eagles win. Broncos versus Chargers, overtime. First overtime game in a little bit. Chargers 19-16. Chargers win it. One of the games I want to focus on this week is the Buccaneers versus the Steelers. The Steelers, like I said, very unexpected win, but not entirely surprising. Tom Brady in his whole career has lost to 6 rookie starting quarterbacks, and 2 of them were by the hands of the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger in 04 and Kenny Pickett in 2022. Kenny Pickett was starting to look like the starter everyone was expecting him to be. Accurate throws, running like he did for the Panthers. Just all in all being the leader that the Steelers needed him to be, and that Tomlin took a chance on doing for the Steelers. The concussion in the game, though, caused him to stop. Trubisky had to come back in, and Trubisky showed that he could still be a good starter, but maybe not for Matt Canada's offensive scheme. Someone like Pickett is more suited for that style. Chase Claypool, very controversial player for the Steelers right now. They drafted him being a big-bodied guy for those big contested catches. Wasn't able to do it throughout the weeks leading to this week. Was able to get multiple catches for first downs and a very contested catch for the only touchdown he scored in the game and the one of 2 passing touchdowns. The other passing touchdown came by Najee Harris, who is contributing more in the pass game than a running back, but that's okay. Everyone has their roles. Maybe he's just going to be like Christian McCaffrey, spend his first year or two catching and being amazing that way, then getting his running yards. The Steelers' offense is starting to look like how they did when Ben first took over. Now, are they going to go and be so many games in a row won like they did with Ben, beating legends, beating all-time players, beating future Hall of Famers? Doubtful. But they're starting to look like maybe they can keep Chase Claypool, Deontay Johnson. But I don't see those two being wide receiver number one. I believe George Pickens will definitely take over. He's a slept-on receiver from the draft, but he's doing really, really good in Matt Canada's offensive scheme for the Steelers. And behind Tomlin, who has turned multiple players who were undrafted or walk-ons into big names, just to name one for instance, Antonio Brown, kind of Le'Veon Bell, he took both of them and made them number ones of their position. So let's see what he can do with Pickett, Claypool, and Pickens. Deontay Johnson's been kind of a prima donna for them. He wants to be wide receiver one, but he just doesn't have the attitude or leadership to lead the wide receiver corps. Some of the stats for Kenny Pickett: he threw 11 of 18, 67 yards, one touchdown, zero interceptions. Mitch Trubisky was 9 for 12, 144 yards, one touchdown, and zero interceptions. Najee Harris was 14 carries, 42 yards, 3.0 average, and one catching touchdown. Like I said, he was more in the receiver role, which is okay because the rookie behind him, I believe Warren, is looking to be a better scheme for running back. Maybe Najee Harris can switch to receiver, or maybe a fullback that catches, kind of like how the one guy from the 49ers, I can't remember his name, but he's a fullback that catches and he runs and he's fast. Maybe Najee Harris can do that. Chase Claypool put up the numbers everyone's been expecting him to do: 7 receptions, 96 yards, 13.7 average, and one touchdown. Those are big numbers for Chase Claypool. He hasn't really been as good as he should be from the time he was drafted. When he first came in, he broke Steelers records, 10 touchdowns. That's one every touchdown every game he started, and that was just last year. But he's not at that level anymore. Now let's talk about a little brother of a Steelers player, Connor Hayward, the younger brother of Cam Hayward. 2 receptions, 49 yards, 24.5 average. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a tight end that's going to be scary once he gets into the scheme and learns his teammates, his strengths and weakness. And you never know, he may become a blocking tight end, help out his brother, be like his brother. You never know. The way the Steelers turn players into legends is just a whole different level. The special teams is another big contribution of this game. They were able to get good field position and a few good returns. Steven Sims, his numbers are a little bit above average for a special teams returner. I'm expecting bigger things out of him, maybe a transition to kind of like what Randall L was, a skill position wide receiver. Maybe throw the ball, maybe run it, maybe catch it, maybe, you never know. He might run it for 100 yards one game, and then next week he might receive for like 50 yards and then do old Philly special and throw it to someone. You never know. Steven Sims' kick receptions was 3 with 112 yards, 37.3 average. Like I said, numbers are above normal. Kid's looking good. As long as he can keep getting those blocks on special teams, I'm expecting big returns from him all the time. First punting, 3 receptions, 23 yards, 7.7 average. It's really good. Not crazy good. Do I see him returning a punt? Maybe in his second year, not anytime soon this year. But hey, I've been wrong before. Never know. The defense is what surprised me a lot in the game. They are without most of their starters, and they were still able to hold Brady to one single touchdown. They also held an amazing wide receiver duo of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to 100 yards each, which is something many defenses cannot do. Those two are just easily top-tier wide receivers and a very dynamic duo that shouldn't really be messed with. Now let's move on to the Buccaneers. To be honest, I don't know what happened here. Not a big Brady fan or a Bucks fan by any means, but this performance was absolutely pitiful. I don't like the man, but you gotta give him credit where credit is due. He can make some decent plays, get some decent numbers. The special teams scored more than half of their 18 points, 12 of them. I don't know what happened. Brady wasn't able to get the job done. The running game was there with Leonard Fournette, but holding Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to those small of yards was the key point. Leonard Fournette, like I said, had the team's only touchdown. He was there for a receiver and a running back. Not crazy yards for a receiver position that he was playing, but enough to make something happen. Back to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. They're one of the only two receivers in the whole NFL who run tandem together, who each get 1,000 yards each season they have played together. And a team of Steelers defenders who were not the first string, not the leaders, not the captains, nothing, held them to under 100 yards. Tom Brady was 25 of 40 for 243 yards, one touchdown. Mike Evans, four receptions, 42 yards, 10.5 average, zero touchdowns. Chris Godwin was really close to 100, but still kept under it. He had six receptions, 95 yards, 15.8 average, zero touchdowns. Leonard Fournette, like I said, six receptions, 38 yards, not crazy yards, but enough to make first downs happen. 21 carries, 63 yards, 3.0 average, one touchdown on a catch and run. Like I said, only touchdown they had. Leonard Fournette did not make it out on his other teams, but he's shown his colors for those Bucks. Hopefully, the Buccaneers' offense and defense can bounce back from this poor outing against the Steelers team, who is literally almost all rookies or second string with a new offensive coordinator. That, I'm not expecting the Steelers to win major games this year. Definitely not this one. So let's see if the Bucs can bounce back. Another game I want to focus on this week is the Jets versus Packers. Besides the Giants, I feel like this team is going to be an unexpected team and will surprise the whole NFL fan base. They have beaten a good team, even though everyone said they haven't beat a good team. Well, they beat two. We'll get into that later. But I think, you know, if you can beat someone like Aaron Rodgers, you might be able to beat pretty much everyone else. This was not a high-stat game by any means, partly due to the failed opportunities to make anything happen after either defense was able to secure the ball and get the offense back on the field, but it was enough to beat an easy top NFC team contender for the playoffs with a no-doubt Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers leading that mismatch offense. And we all know what he can do with those. He's turned a lot of no-names into big-number receivers, even won a Super Bowl with some. So we're going to see how that goes. The offense was able to literally gain all their yards with the run. On another note, Zach Wilson looks like a good field leader for this young, rebuilding Jets team. Sam Darnold had it, but he's just no starter. He's unreliable, can't stay healthy. We're not going to go on that topic. Zach Wilson, the guy who loves your mom and everyone else, he had 10 for 18, 110 yards, 0 touchdowns. Breece Hall, 20 carries, 116 yards. That's the run game right there. 5.8 average and 1 touchdown. Michael Carter, 6 carries, 41 yards, 6.8 average. Braxton Berrios, 1 carry, 20 yards, 20.0 average and 1 touchdown. I don't know if anyone remembers, but the Packers used to be able to stop runs, catches, special teams. They were a defense that was feared by anyone who had to face them because they knew they could get the ball back to Aaron Rodgers. But the Jets just showed up. They didn't have to shut up. They showed up. The Packers, Aaron Rodgers, man. His crew was able to get up good numbers, but not exactly get the job done. Offensively, the Packers were just not there. The stats were somewhat there, just not the caliber that one of the best NFC teams usually is known for and shows. Aaron Rodgers, 26 for 41, 246 yards, one touchdown. A.J. Dillon, 10 carries, 41 yards, 4.1 average, zero touchdowns. This is a normal 100-yard running back. Easily was able to not get anywhere due to the Jets' defense. Robert Tonyan, 10 receptions, 90 yards, 9.0 average, and zero touchdowns. Like I said, Rodgers can take a no-name or someone who is more second string than a starter and give him starting numbers. I expect some more out of Robert Tonyan, but with Alan Lazard sitting there waiting, who's played with Brady before, leading him, they're going to be a good duo, just not this year. I'm going to say 2023 is going to be the year for Robert Tonyan and Alan Lazard to be the top wide receiver duo there is. Just everything about this game was awkward. The Jets could not make it any more clear that they're here to win this year. They're here to be a top team. They're here to not be losing anymore. They had a lot of struggle with Sam Darnold, a lot of struggle finding a good receiver, a lot of struggles everywhere on both sides of the field, and this year they're looking like they got it together. Now, every game is not a huge scoring game, but they're pulling out the wins, and that's all that matters. Packers, let's see if you can do any better. You're currently not even in the top five list for the NFC teams. That's not like them. They're usually number two or number three. Another game I want to touch on, and one that I loved watching, was the Bills versus Chiefs. We have all been wanting this game to happen. We have been wanting and wanting Josh Allen to beat Mahomes. When it comes to terms for best quarterback in the NFL, it's Allen or Mahomes. They're both the same kind of skill level. Just Allen, I think, has the upper hand with his body. He's a little more accurate, and his speed over Mahomes. Even though he's bigger, he's faster and can take a better hit. Just to break down some stats of this game, and then we'll go over it a little bit more. Josh Allen was 27 for 40, 329 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. This is not the first game he's had 300-plus yards with no interceptions and multiple touchdowns. He's definitely the front runner for the MVP. I don't care what any of y'all say. Kermit the Frog Mahomes ain't getting MVP. Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen's trusted receiver, 10 receptions, 148 yards, 14.8 average, 1 touchdown. I don't know how the Vikings cannot use Diggs the way Allen does, but Diggs is going to have another Super Bowl run, or two, or three. I think this team's going to be a high playoff contender every single year, as long as Allen has the control he continues to do with the offense. Another thing about Allen, he hits more receivers and route running or skill catchers than any other quarterback. Allen was able to hit Knox, Diggs, and Davis for a touchdown easily within the game. He shares the love with everyone, and I feel like he's just a better team leader. Devin Singletary had 17 carries, 85 yards, 5.0 average. Josh Allen had 12 carries, 32 yards, 2.7 average. And that's where I say he's a little bit tougher than Mahomes. Those are some big hits he took on those runs, and he was still able to do it. And then let's not even talk about that hurdle. The disrespect to not only jump over Snead last year in a game, but to do it again this year. Allen is on a different level of athletic. Is he as fast as Lamar Jackson? No. Could he beat Jackson in a run? Yeah. Not because of speed or evasiveness, just pure brutality. Jackson would get hit by one big guy and fall down. Allen would get hit, stand up, and stare at you and be like, I'm still running. Go over some of the stats for the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes was 25 for 40, 338 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. We'll touch base on that later. Juju Smith-Schuster, the former Steelers, 5 receptions, 113 yards, 22.6 average, and 1 touchdown. Where were these stat numbers for the Steelers? Let's just see if he can keep being the number one for the Chiefs. I don't think he is. I think Hartman is, but we'll see. Travis Kelce, 8 receptions, 108 yards, 13.5 average, 0 touchdowns. That's crazy considering the week before, all 4 touchdowns were scored by that man, Kelce. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 9 carries, 33 yards, 3.7 average. Good stats by both teams, but statistically, the Bills were there. Their defense caused Mahomes to throw 2 interceptions in a game, and interceptions aren't Mahomes' thing. He doesn't rarely throw them. And to hold Mahomes to only 2 touchdowns, another crazy thing. The way that defense is run, they're easily a top secondary. Definitely top secondary. Front 7 for defense. Yeah, I'd say it's there too. They got Von Miller and some other big names. Von Miller's definitely going to whip those young players in the shape and show them how it's done. Poyer as the secondary. Poyer's going to lead them. He's going to lead the rookies or the less inexperienced for the Bills. Expect more interceptions from him. He's going to be one of the top defensive players of the year, maybe beating Gilmore's records or dethroning Jalen Ramsey as one of the best defensive players in the secondary. Another thing is the Chiefs' defense, letting Stephon Diggs be that crazy on you and having Devin Singletary almost hit 100 yards. I don't know where the Chiefs' defense was at, but it definitely wasn't there that game. I'm expecting the Bills to not lose another game this whole season. They're going to go all the way. As much as I want to say the Dolphins, Tua's coming back next week. We don't know where the rest of it's going to go. Gesicki put up some good numbers with the Dolphins this week, and Teddy Bridgewater, and I think Stevenson was the backup. So I'm expecting some out of him. Kirk Cousins looked good, definitely in that Vikings game. We're going to touch base on him a little bit better. But with the backup, Tyreek Hill still got 12 receptions, 177 yards, 14.8 average, and 0 touchdowns. Jaylen Waddle was 6 receptions, 129 yards, 21.5 average, and 0 touchdowns. Another duo that I see easily getting 100 yards each game, or maybe 1,000 the whole season. Mike Gesicki was 6 receptions and 69 yards and 11.5. Like I said, I want Gesicki to be in the top 5 tight ends by next year or even the end of this year. I can definitely see him going places. With Tua or even Bridgewater, I can see any of those 3 that I have just mentioned leading in leaderboards somewhere. Now it comes down to my favorite part, my top 5s. This week I'm going to go over the top 5 NFC teams and the AFC teams. And receivers. Receivers are just going to be based on stats. No specific order. You can place them how you want. My favorite thing this week will be the teams, though. Top 5 NFC teams. Let's go. Number 1 are the Eagles. They're going to soar away with the NFC. They're going to be undefeated till I'm going to say, week 10. They're going to do what the Steelers did. They're going to go 10, 11 games, and then they're just going to flop. Still make it to the playoffs, and then be like, I don't know what happened. Well, we'll see. Maybe my prediction is wrong. Hopefully, they need another Super Bowl. Number 2, the Giants. If you would have walked up to me today and said the Eagles, Giants, and Vikings are going to lead the NFC before the season started, I would have said, slap me in the face. You're lying. I'm dreaming. This is not going to happen. Well, it did. I can't even argue. Vikings and Giants, they haven't really beaten major teams, but the Giants have beat 2. Packers and the Ravens. Vikings, well, their first real test is coming up in the next 2 weeks. Cowboys, number 4. We them boys, I can't deny it, they're doing good this year. Cooper Rush might be the starter over Dak. He looks a lot better. We'll see. We'll definitely see. Top 5, number 5. Pains me to say it because boo, Brady, boo. The Buccaneers. They had a rough game against the Steelers. It was a Steelers team that Brady wasn't used to. That might have been the issue. And it might be the issues with his wife if we all know what's going on there. Oh, Brady, please stop football. Oh, nope, you didn't. So I won everything. At least what the media says. We don't know the truth. But obviously there's some frustration. There was a little clip of him screaming at his lineman saying, I'm not losing to Kenny Pickett. He's a rookie. A rookie. So we'll see. Maybe he can calm that mouth down of his. Top 5 AFC. This one was hard. Because of the Chiefs loss, but I'm saying number 1 Bills. I think I've made that apparent. I'm not a Buffalo Bills fan, but I am a Josh Allen fan, so let's go Bills. Number 2, I am going to put the Chiefs over the Jets. The Jets have the better record, and yes, they beat the Packers, but I want them to beat the Bills or the Chiefs before I even say they're definitely a top contender team. They're going to surprise everyone with their record this year. I don't think they're going to be top contenders, though. Their quarterback situation's not the best. Zach Wilson's really good, but he has no weapons. Number 4 for the AFC, Ravens. Lamar Jackson, Devin Duvernay, and that backfield of insane running backs. Do I need to say more? Number 5, Dolphins. Teddy Bridgewater was holding down the fort. They didn't win, but they put up good stats, kept the offense going for Tua to come back this week. Top 5 wide receivers, like I said, no specific order, just my top 5 for the week. Cooper Kupp, he has 7 receptions, 80 yards, 11.4 average. Mind you, this guy is the number one wide receiver, and he is trusted by Matthew Stafford. He'll say that hands down. Number 4, I put as Tyreek Hill, but it, like I said, no order. 12 receptions, 177 yards, 14.8 average, 0 touchdowns. Still the cheetah. Number 3 is Stephon Diggs, 10 receptions, 148 yards, 14.8 average, 1 touchdown against the Chiefs. If I had to do a number 1, it would be Stephon Diggs, followed by Justin Jefferson, then Ja'Marr Chase. But Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson would bounce back and forth between 2nd and 3rd. Number 2 I have is Justin Jefferson this week, 6 receptions, 107 yards, 17.8 average, and 0 touchdowns. This kid can catch, he can run, contested hit. There's just nothing like him on that Vikings team. Thielen's there, but old man Thielen ain't going to go anywhere like Justin Jefferson can. Thielen's career is not done, but it's nothing to what is expected out of Jefferson, and that's okay. And then number 1 is Ja'Marr Chase, 7 receptions, 132 yards, 18.9 average, and 2 touchdowns. This kid, another LSU. Just expect LSU wide receivers to be on my list. They come from LSU being amazing, and they hit the NFL being amazing. It's just something that those LSU coaches can do with wide receivers. It's crazy. It's very, very crazy, but we're going to see a lot out of them. And then my 6th fill-in, I'm going to have to say Jaylen Waddle. Tua is going to be coming back, that chemistry between the Bama boys. It's crazy. But anyways, thanks for talking with me, guys. I hope you enjoy Take Point 22 coming up next, and I look forward to talking with you more and more every week. Bye-bye.